Again, may I reiterate the welcome to each one tonight. We trust the Lord will bless our time around his word. We want to read, please, in the Gospel of Mark and chapter 10, please. The Gospel of Mark, chapter 10. Reading at verse 45, Mark chapter 10 and verse 45. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. And they came to Jericho. And as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be brought, to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? And the blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. And we know that the Lord will bless the reading of his word. You may perhaps think it's strange that I read from verse 45, but really the reason I read there was that is a statement of the reason why the Lord came. And the incident that we read that follows gives a picture of what the Lord came to do. And so really the verses do go, although the verse perhaps is at the end of the earlier narrative, what the Lord has been teaching the people, which is summarized in that verse, is now going to be illustrated in practical experience. And you know, if there's one thing we need to understand tonight, more than anything else, as we're here in this gathering, it's the fact that a knowledge of God's word that goes no further than that will be of no value. We could repeat all the teaching of the Lord. We could be able to discuss all the things that the Lord Jesus taught. But unless it becomes real in our experience, it's of no value. And there we have that statement that really has often been said to be the very summary of the Gospel of Mark. The Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. And that statement is immediately followed by this picture. An incident in the life of the Lord. We have a multitude as his disciples. There's a great number of people. But there's one man in need. And you know, as we think of this story tonight, as we think of this account, tonight it brings to us the fact that every one of us is in need. We're going to think a little about the place where the Lord Jesus was, the importance of the place, Jericho. We're going to think about the importance of the time. It's the last time that the Lord passed through Jericho. And one time, one day, perhaps even today, the doors of this hall will be opened for the last time. One day there will be the last opportunity to hear the Lord call and to turn. And as we sang in our opening hymn, to lay our burdens down at his feet, to turn and cast all our need for salvation on him. The place, the time, and the response. Two responses in these verses. There's a multitude who try to silence Bartimaeus. But there's a man who would not be silent. And are you here tonight as someone perhaps who would come into a place like this? And you're content to sit under the sound of the word of God, and you think that just coming to such a place might do you, be of some benefit to you, simply in coming? Or are you going to be like Bartimaeus, who realized that the only answer was to have a personal dealing with the Lord Jesus Christ himself? And it's all based, and the only foundation on which it can be based is the fact that he gave himself a ransom for many. You know, sometimes we would preach a message and we would emphasize the fact that the gospel is open to all. And that is the assurance that we have from God's word, that the work of the Lord Jesus Christ is a work that is available to each and every person in this world. There's no reason why anybody in this world tonight cannot be saved, because the work of Christ is sufficient. But the emphasis here in this verse, and really in these verses, in the incident that follows as well, is that the value of that work is only made good when we call on the Lord. The many, a ransom for many. Yes, he could be the saviour of each and every person in this world. But tonight the question comes, have you responded as Bartimaeus responded when he heard that the Lord was there? Have you responded by calling on him and claiming him? My faith has found a resting place. Not in the nice nor food, I trust the ever-living one, his wounds for me. Surely. So the place. Jericho. Probably all of us will know of the incident as Israel crossed over the River Jordan and came into the land. And they came up against the city of Jericho, and there it stood defying the people. And as Joshua led the people, he was told to go around the city. For six days he was to go around once each day. On the seventh day he went round seven times. And then at the end of that, as the people shouted, as the trumpets blew, the walls fell down. But what perhaps we may not all remember is that when that happened, the Lord placed a curse on the city of Jericho. It was not to be built again. It was under the curse of God. And in that way, the place Jericho is a picture of the world in which we live. It is under the curse of sin. Romans 5 verse 12 will tell us, by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death hath passed upon all men, for all have sinned. And the world reminds us, Jericho reminds us, that there is a curse. If you'd asked the Jews in the days of the Lord Jesus, well, what about that? They would have pointed to all the things that they were doing. And they would have said, look, there's the law of God. And there's the standard, the righteous standard that God expects. And we have men like the Pharisee that Luke will tell us about. In Luke chapter 18, and he went up into the temple and he said, I thank God I am not as other men are. And you see, there was a man, that man, and many like him, they thought that they were above the judgment of God. They were above the curse of God. But Paul in Galatians chapter 3 tells us very clearly that the law of God only serves to highlight the curse of sin. Cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things that are written therein. Every person that the law of God comes down, it reaches down to each and every person in this world. There's no one in the world who can escape from the demand of the law of God. And there is not one detail of that law that we can bypass. Paul puts it very graphically in Romans chapter 7. He says that, to paraphrase what he said in that chapter, he says, you know, I looked at my life and I was happy and I was content with the way that I was going. And I thought I was living a good life until the commandment came, thou shalt not. And when that commandment came, it reached into my heart. And it started sin working in my life. And I realized the curse of sin in my life. I knew what I should be doing, and I couldn't do it. I knew the things that I shouldn't be doing, but I couldn't stop myself from doing it. Now, I don't know what it may be in your life, but the point about what Paul says in Romans 7, the point about what Paul says in Galatians 3, is that these truths apply to every single one of us. There is something that God sees in our lives that we cannot overcome. To such an extent that if someone was to turn round to me and say at the end of this meeting, ah yes, but you don't know what I'm like. I am not like all those other people. I don't covet. I don't steal. I don't lie. The answer, not from me, but from God, would be that the sin of which you are guilty is pride. Pride is an abomination to the Lord, and you are saying that I know better than God, because God says if any man says he has no sin, he is a liar, and the truth is not in him. And you are so proud, if you say, well, that's not me, you're so proud that you are saying, God's wrong, I'm right. There isn't one of us who can escape from the curse of sin in our life. Whatever it may be, however blatant it may be, the effect of that sin in this incident, the effect of that sin is seen in a blind man. Perhaps tonight, the effect of that sin is seen in the very fact that you are blind to the reality of your position before God. That you don't really believe that you're a sinner. You don't really believe. You know, that was the trouble. That was the trouble, as we read in these verses. That was the trouble with that multitude. There were the disciples. They'd heard the Lord. They'd given up everything to follow him. Their heart had been changed. Their lives had been changed by coming into contact with the Lord Jesus Christ. But there was a great multitude. And when we read about that multitude, it was what we would call a fickle multitude. They're happy to follow the Lord while he's doing miracles. They're happy to listen to a teacher who could speak in a way that nobody else had ever spoken. But it comes out very clearly in John chapter 6. That when the Lord Jesus turns round to these people and says to them, look, it's not just teaching, it's not just miracles, it's a personal faith. I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. You must put your trust in me. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And so you could go through that chapter. And he's saying to them, look, you have got to act on what you've seen, on what you've heard. It's not enough. It's not enough just to listen. It's not enough just to go along with the crowd. You've got to put a personal faith in me as the Son of God, as the Saviour of the world. Without that, all this teaching, all these miracles will be of no value to you. And that's where this multitude. They were happy to follow the Lord. In just a day or two, they're going to be in the streets of Jerusalem, and they're going to be crying out, Hosanna, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. And you go down just a few more days, and they're going to be there in the streets of Jerusalem, and they're going to be crying out, away with him, crucify him, because their heart has not really been touched. And when things are going well, they're happy to be identified with the Lord. As multitudes are listening to him, as multitudes are amazed at the wonderful things that he does, they're happy to be associated with him. But when it comes to the question, will you stand with Christ? Will you put your trust in him in every circumstance? They weren't prepared to stand by him. When the rulers wanted him out of the way, when it suddenly became the unpopular thing to name the name of Christ, they turned their back on him. And for people like that, for people who are prepared to turn and refuse, the Lord has to say there's no other way. There is only one Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. The place, it's the place of curse, and into that place of curse, a Savior came to give his life, a ransom for men. He came to lay down his life. And the question tonight comes to you. Are you going to identify yourself with the man who died on the cross? To say that this world is wrong, this world is under the judgment of God, that's what I deserve, but Christ died for me. Or are you going to stay with the multitude as they go on in their sin? Bartimaeus. When he heard it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. He said about the time. This was his last opportunity. As we've just said, we've really emphasized this already. The Lord was going through Jericho. He was going to go to Jerusalem. Within maybe a week or two, he was going to be crucified. It was coming right to the time of his crucifixion, of man's rejection of Christ. It was the last opportunity. But Bartimaeus seized the opportunity. And he seized it in such a way that when the multitude charged him that he should hold his peace, all he did was to cry out the more. I wonder what your thoughts. It's a challenge to each and every one of us as to what we need. Because we're all living in a world that will tell us, well, you don't really want to go all the way down that path. Do you really need to be wholehearted in your following Christ? Bartimaeus says there's nothing else. It's Christ or nothing. And if you want to silence me, he says, I'm just going to cry out more because I realize there's only one who can answer me. There's only one who can meet my need. You know, that's true for each and every one of us. He's the Savior that God had sent. He was promised. He was promised in the Old Testament when Bartimaeus says, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on thee. Bartimaeus was given expression to the assurance that as a Jew he had, that there was coming a king, there was coming a saviour, a deliverer who would deliver the people. And Bartimaeus says, he's the only person who can help me. No one else can help me, he's the only one. Yes, the people would cry in a day or two, Hosanna, save us now, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord, but their hearts weren't in it, but Bartimaeus was. And you know, the glorious assurance is this. As Bartimaeus calls, and as Bartimaeus shows his faith by refusing to be silenced, the Lord hears him. You might say, well, why didn't he answer straight away? I take it the reason is simply this, that the Lord wanted Bartimaeus to show the reality of his faith. Was he really prepared to trust the Lord and go against the multitude when they wanted to silence him? My friend tonight, you really want to find the salvation of God in the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you really want to make it your priority? That this is what I need. I can't go without the Saviour. That's where Bartimaeus was. Nobody else can help me. Nobody's going to stop me getting to this Saviour who could save me. And when the Lord heard him, and when the Lord saw his faith, the Lord called for him. And you know, again, we're quoting from John 6. You'll read these words in that chapter. Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Three times over in your Bible, you'll read these glorious words. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. My friend, it's easy to be sure of this. The year of the Saviour is open. It's open for the sinner who comes in his sin and recognizes that he needs a saviour, to deliver him from the judgment of God, from the curse of sin. But my friend, as soon as you've turned to that saviour for deliverance from sin, you have the assurance too that his ear is open for your cry in every circumstance of life. And not only is it open in every circumstance that he's able to deliver you and to bring you through whatever circumstance of life you pass through, he's got an ear that's open. That's the salvation. He is able to save them to the uttermost that come to God by him. Whatever pest comes, whatever circumstance may come our way, he is able to save. My friend, you've got to take that first step. As a sinner, recognizing that no one else can save. That nothing must be allowed to get in your way of reaching the Saviour. But lay hold on the promise that the moment you call, he will hear and he will save. So what's his response? Verse 50. He casted away his garment, rose, and came to Jesus. When you read of garments in the Bible, they speak of the character. And what Bartimaeus is saying by throwing away his garments, he's saying, I want my whole life to be changed. He was a beggar. He says, I don't want to be a beggar anymore. I'm going to come to the Saviour. He's going to answer. It doesn't matter what it is that holds us in its grip. Whether it's a blindness like Bartimaeus, whether it's an illness, whether it is sin, immorality, pride, whatever it is that we're trusted in, if it's not in Christ, it's something that is keeping us away from the salvation of God. And we've got to put it aside. And we've got to come to the Saviour. We've got to say, I've got nothing. As the hymn writer puts it, nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. The only plea, the only answer to my sin is that Christ died for me. The Son of Man gave himself a ransom for many. He cast away his garments. He came to Jesus. That's the first bit of his response. That's the picture of repentance. My life needs to change, and the only way it can change is if the Lord works in my life. Only he can change me. And when the Lord asked him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. Hear the man. And his need is answered. He turns. He calls. The Lord says to him, thy faith has made thee whole. He says, but at the end of the verse, immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. And really, that is the challenge. He'd given up the old. He threw away his garments. He turned from the past, everything that he trusted in the past. But it wasn't enough just to do that. He followed Jesus in the way. He made it his ambition. He made it his desire. That from that time forward, everything about his life would be centered in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul, when he speaks to the Ephesian elders in Acts chapter 20, he tells them that the message he told was repentance toward God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Turning away from sin, turning to God, trusting in Christ, in our Lord Jesus Christ. Yes. It's as simple as that. But it must be from the heart, an acknowledgement of sin. A recognition that only Christ can save. I'm in a place, I'm under the curse of God. That was the place. Now is the time to be saved. And only Christ can save. And nothing must get in the way of me finding Christ tonight. Our prayer would be that there be someone for whom that would be true, even in this place. So we can pray. Gracious God, again tonight we thank thee and praise thee for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee, our God, for one who came, one who had a right that all creation should serve him and should own him as Lord, and yet he came not to lord it over people, but to serve. He came to take the sinner's place, to pay the price that our sins demanded, so that we could be set free. And we thank thee for the assurance that his ear is now open to the cry of all, and any who call from their heart for salvation can have the assurance that he will never turn them away. We thank thee for his promises. And we just commit ourselves to thee now and ask thee to bless thy word to each heart, but especially, our God, any who do not know the Saviour, that tonight might be the night when they bow the knee and call on him for salvation. We ask it in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ.